Looks good, that starting screen, yeah.
What'd you say?
You want me to repeat that? Because I get
I
right.
can't hear you because the music's playing in my ear.
I gave you a compliment, but as you missed it, it's gone now. You had your chance. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Seal Podcast, episode number 149, where it appears that when Neil is making hand gestures to me, that is the point where I'm supposed to start. You'd think we would have got it all sorted out after 149 episodes, but you were wrong.
Well, we've had music the last 2 weeks, which we don't normally have.
I tell you what, yeah, if you, because we don't put the full version on, the podcast audio version, so if you're listening on your podcast app player of choice, you're missing the full glory of the full intro song, which you can go back and hear on Twitch or whatever, or just give us a shout. We'll tell you where to find it on YouTube by the wonderful Self Ed. Great tune. Love it. My name is Fraser. I'm joined on my left by Neil.
Hello. It's the other left, obviously, if you're watching.
And on my right, by Dave.
Hello.
Chaps. Hello. Thank you for accommodating the early start. I had a panic attack. I was out of my house and I suddenly was chatting away to this guy and I realized that it was 10 to 5 and we're supposed to normally start at 5 and I jumped in the car and quickly sent a text saying, oh shit, I'm going to be late. Sorry. And then I was reminded that the clocks had gone back and we were fine. So we're starting early.
They've only gone back here.
Yeah, they've only gone back
next week for you, is it? This weekend.
This Sunday, yeah. So an extra hour in bed for us this Sunday, which is nice.
I didn't notice it last week.
Were you working?
You didn't know? Oh, well, yeah, you're all over the show.
No, I wasn't at work, but yeah, I was just generally a fucking mess. But
yeah. So, it's been a good week. I can tell you straight off, I've had a busy week, even though I've probably got nothing in the notes about what I've been up to. It's one of these, it's the week, it happens, same things happen every year, funnily enough. It's the week of my children's birthdays. They have my son's birthday on one day, the next day it's Halloween, and the day after that it's my daughter's birthday. Oh. So it's full on hectic, but it's, you know,
expensive get a lot done. As well, maybe.
It's not too, it is expensive, yes. Yeah, it's fucking expensive. Excuse my French. Hope my son said he was going to listen. Hope he's listening. He understands. He hears that and it sinks in.
We didn't plan that just for his benefit.
No, not at all. But actually it's because, my daughter's birthday is on the 1st. There's a payday bang in the middle of it all. So,
yeah, so she gets more presents. Is that what you're saying?
No.
They don't get any split player presents or anything.
Oh. No. Those days are long gone. No joint parties or anything like that.
No.
Anyway, so
do they wear the same to get like coordinated outfits as well? Did you ever do that when you were kids? I know you had like a boy and a girl, so it's a bit more difficult. But
yeah, that never really happened. They're 2 years apart, so that. 2 years apart and they're a boy and a girl, but like my sister and I were just less than a year apart from each other. And
wow. No, we don't want to go into that detail.
Yeah. There's loads
just
of pictures
horrible
of
look on Fraser's face for a moment.
No, there are pictures of us from when we were very little of us wearing sort of similar clothes.
I definitely got a few. We've been to family gatherings, like me and my brother, 4 years apart, same outfits. So. Good old M&S back in the day.
Yeah. You've got a brother, haven't you, Dave?
I have. Yeah, he's 7 years older. So.
Oh yeah.
It's a bit weird because, like, you know, we were never in the same school together. Like, when I was in secondary, I was in university. So yeah, we've led a very different life.
Is it just the two of you?
No, I've got a younger sister. A year and a bit younger.
Oh, okay. So she's sort of like the one you've been close in age to playing around with.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So when I turned 18, we looked very similar, with similar sort of height and build. And we used to pass, because I used to work in the pubs, I used to pass her off with my twin. So her and her mates would come in and I'd be like, oh, no, it's my twin sister. It's fine.
Oh, nice.
So she used to love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Good old big brother. Nice work.
Probably not the most responsible big brother, but you know.
Oh, I mean, that's where it counts, though, isn't it?
They were in the pub and I could keep an eye on her. So
no, there's that too. Yeah, right. Of course. At least you know where they are.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look, let's move on then to the normal stuff on the show. Fantasy footy.
Fantasy footy. Well, I had my little script written out, and then my PC did a blue screen crash, which is the first time in, I don't ever remember it doing that, to be honest. It did that. Had to do its little gathering information and send it all off to Microsoft Big Brother. So I hopefully didn't have anything dodgy open on my screens. But basically, the usual script is the top scorers and all that shit. So top scorer on the week was Paul Davies, Welsh Wizards FC, on 95 points. He's only smashed it and gone top of the league.
Ooh!
793 points total score.
Wanger!
I do actually know Paul Davies. He doesn't necessarily interact it, but yeah.
Does he come with a seal of approval?
Is
that your seal impression?
It was a pretty shit one, wasn't it? Tim Kelly also banged in a shitload of points last week. I'm just moving on and ignoring that, by the way. 87 points, but he did bench boost it last week. It at least it wasn't shit. At least it didn't bench boost and get no points. So
yeah, bench boost. Any year, any time you use a bench boost and actually get something decent out of it, that's a win.
Yeah, I could have bench boosted every fucking week and done really well, I think, this season. Like, in fact, I would have done better than most weeks if I'd have had a bench boost available, because my benches have been pretty good. But yeah, not going to dwell on that. Although I would say that everyone was banging on about Andreas Pereira last week. Put him in your team because he's been on a great run of form. 3 points last week. Fucking said he was going to do shit last week. I can't be asked to go through any other top scorers for the week. Total score, as before mentioned, Paul Davies gone top, 793. Pilch dropped down second, 787 points. And Lord is still hanging on to third on 767. Got caught up a bit there last week. But still, a pretty good week all round on most people's teams, I'd say. A lot of over 60 scores.
Dan Fletcher had
a bit of a shocker on 36 points. Yeah. A good week for you, Dave, but you were the worst scoring seal.
Yeah, 56. That's good for me. Normally, I'm hanging around the 40s.
So, 56. I would say 56 at this point of the season. Like, if you're dropping a 56, it means you're paying attention, right? It's usually around about here. The people who are doing nothing are now posting 12s and 14s and shit, right? So, yeah.
But everyone's doing pretty good on that in our league. There's no, you know, sub 40. Hang on, there might be one. A 36.
It's
who is the best performing seal?
The one who's not here again.
He doesn't count.
He's going to get kicked out of the league.
He interacts. He's okay.
He's all right. He's on the Discord moaning about fucking Modern Warfare. Usually, Modern Warfare God. 2.
All right.
What do I normally talk about next?
I don't know. Remember. What do we think about this? What's Haaland? What's going to happen with Haaland?
Oh, that
was
the thing. Like, Haaland is still yellow this weekend. So what are we doing with Haaland?
My prediction was correct that he was not going to pay.
He went down in value for the first time this season.
People hoofed him, eh?
How are people transferring him out? Because he's going to miss 1 week, maybe 2 weeks. I don't think he'll be missing this weekend. I reckon he'll play. Because he didn't play in the Champions League, which was a dead game for them anyway. They'd already qualified and already won the group, I think. So yeah, they weren't going to risk him for an unnecessary risk. They play it there at home to Fulham this weekend. Fulham are dangerous. Not like troubling the top six or anything, but doing better than a lot of people thought they would do probably this season. So probably wants to make certain of some 3 points.
It's home game for them, though, isn't it, Man City?
Man City, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've left Haaland in, but I haven't captained him. I don't think I've vice-captained him either.
Ooh,
I've captained Cancelo.
Okay.
You know that.
Defenders are always a bit of a gamble.
Mate, I tell you what, like this is just sums it up like last week. I had the Leeds keeper, right? For weeks, I've had the Leeds keeper. As soon as I bought him, he did nothing. And then last week, I did a bit of jiggery-pokery, and I put the Chelsea keeper in, who's had some good scores.
Kepa?
No, the other one.
Mendy.
Oh, is that his name?
No, Kepa Arrizabalaga.
Yeah, him. He only lets ships fucking tons of goals or whatever, and the Leeds keeper kept a clean sheet. I couldn't believe
Kepa
it, finally. No, but I mean,
Kepa
the point
injured,
is...
didn't he?
Well, whatever. He definitely didn't score anything. Get good, he's injured. Oh, man, I tell you, it was just, that's the curse, the fantasy curse there in one example.
The winner's, the champion's curse.
I guess, yeah. Oh, yes. The
oh,
champion.
Yes.
The champion's curse. There can be only one who carries this burden.
Yeah,
it
was
I the champion.
Fucked it last week. On my transfer. I had two transfers sitting there, and I was, I'm in. Jesus not been doing a lot lately. He's not mega bucks. Could be time to ship him out. Obviously, I did ship him out. He scored 18 points or something stupid last weekend. I was like, fucking winner. And was umming and ahhing about putting in Callum Wilson. Scored about 19 points last week. Yeah. Who did I put in? Darwin Núñez. At home to Leeds. Liverpool at home to Leeds. Leeds, absolute shit. Go and fucking beat Liverpool, didn't they? Fucking unbelievable.
Honestly, touch of death. It's just unreal.
Yeah, you and me both.
So, anyway, it is funny. I hoofed Son this week. I hoofed
him. Well, he got crocked. He's out. He's got to have surgery or something.
I know. I had a team completely sorted out. Everybody looked out from my bench. Everyone. It was like, yep, these are all solid. I look at it today, and it's just like this sea of yellow exclamation marks. Oh, come on. With a couple of
See, I've not had that problem. I've just looked at my team and gone, they're doing shit. I need to get rid of them. I've done two transfers this week. My two that I've got to use this week. So look out for Wilfried Zaha banging in a hat-trick this weekend and Mason Mount smashing it against Arsenal. Because they're the two fuckers that I've binned off after being shit the last 3 weeks. And I've brought in... Who did I bring in? I fucking can't even remember now. That's how good they are. Oh, Bruno Guimaraes from Newcastle. Everyone's on the Almiron bandwagon because he's been doing really well. And he's been super cheap. But I've gone Bruno because I had him last year and he was fucking brilliant. Love him. He's a great player. Look out for him in the World Cup. I'm sure he'll be smashing it up. Brazil obviously going to win this year. Obviously not now. But who was the other one? Another midfielder, obviously. I can't fucking remember. Oh, Saka's in against Chelsea. Arsenal flying high at the minute. So I've got two Arsenal midfielders in now. After binning off Jesus, Saka's on penalties. So fuck it. I brought him in.
All right.
So yeah. Zaha and Mount bound to have an absolute belter this weekend, obviously.
Of course. My Leeds keeper will be back in because I didn't have a transfer free to change the Chelsea. So my Leeds keeper's back in. He'll probably shift about 8 goals this weekend back to normal service will resume.
2 game weeks until unlimited transfers, including this week, obviously, this weekend. So use up your transfers if you want to because you got unlimited after the following week. One other thing. is it's cup qualification week. So if you're in the top 8 million or something stupid after this weekend, you will be in the cup. So the following week, the first last week before the World Cup will be the first round of the cup. So you get drawn against a random team in the competition and you play head to head. So whoever scores the most progresses through to the next round of the FPL Cup.
Right.
From week 16. So even if you've been doing absolutely shit up until week 16, but somehow managed to sneak in to the cup, you can go on a run. You never know.
Defoe says it's coming.
The US home. Are definitely not winning the World Cup. I can tell you that. Sorry, it is. Is that's what he means. And Italy clearly aren't winning the World Cup because they're not in it. So unless he's actually referring to the England, and it's not happening either.
Mm. Canada? No chance.
Are you actually in it?
Yeah.
It feels really weird because people were still qualifying. It only feels like a couple of months ago.
Yeah, Canada's in there, first time since 86.
Wow.
It's the only other time we were in there and didn't manage to score. How did a goal that time.
Well, hopefully.
Not very well, no.
Hopefully you'll score this time. Yep. Who's in your group, do you know?
Belgium.
Yeah, you're playing Belgium.
Croatia, I think, are in there.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's a group of death for Canada.
Oh, it is for Canada. I'm not sure it is for Croatia or Belgium.
Saying that, I mean, the Canadians were, I think, ended up top of the group in CONCACAF. So who knows?
That's WonkaCAF, mate. It's fucking no one. It's only like two teams in that.
You
conference.
Got the nobodies in there, like America and Costa Rica and all that shit.
Did you come ahead of the USA?
I think we may have. Maybe we didn't in the end. I knew we were ahead of them.
Do you only have the one group? In the North America, whatever it is, CONCACAF.
I think so. Yeah, don't ask me.
Just about 20 teams in it.
I hardly follow it.
Yeah, you're playing Belgium, Croatia, and Morocco.
Ooh, you're getting stuffed every game, I think.
Hooray! maybe we could upset. But, you know, Canada could be that team where people go, oh, it's only Canada. You know, they should be playing hockey. They'll probably turn up with hockey sticks.
Yeah, you won't be playing
curling in that temperature, that's for sure.
You might sneak a second if...
don't think so.
I don't know. If Croatia lose against Monaco and Belgium randomly...
Well, not Monaco.
Morocco.
Thing is,
Morocco.
It's the World Cup, right? It's the World Cup. Anything can happen. Yeah. You know these teams. There are lots of teams, good teams, don't get out of the group. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen, and the Germans always win. Oh, there we go.
Okay, anything else on football?
No, that's it, mate. Thank you.
Okay.
I didn't actually put the table up on Twitch for the fucking... I've been looking at it, scrolling up and down, and I've not actually put it on Twitch. What a noob. What a noob.
Rookie mistake.
That's all right. I'm sure people will be. They'll be fine. Okay, let's move on. Twitch, YouTube. I don't think there's much to go on there. So let's move on to the tweets. Friend of the show, Colm. Colm?
Colm, isn't it?
Colm.
Colm. Colm. Sure. I pronounced that correctly.
Pronounced it every single way possible, I think. So
yeah, probably.
Hopefully one
he
of us got it
last right. Yeah, Colm of Last Save Loaded podcast dropped us a... He's back on... I think he was off Twitter. I think his Twitter name
he's
has
come
changed.
Back just in time for it to go to shit.
Yeah. he says, seeing as the new God of War is getting 10s, what is your 10 out of 10 game? This is Ragnarok, right? So Ragnarok is getting 10 out of 10.
The latest one. I think the most... Previously most recent game did really well. Obviously, I don't know if it was getting tens, but it was highly regarded and it's extremely good. I think I'm looking forward to playing the next God of War, the new one. Is it out today? Or is it out next week? The reviews have all come out, so everyone's just like jizzing over it. Not literally.
Except us.
But I think I'm not paying 70 quid for a game. In any fucking lifetime whatsoever. So I'll be waiting a little while. Obviously, it will come to PS Plus a week after I buy it on sale or something crazy. But regarding the question, I have an answer.
Go on.
Came out this year.
Oh, Elden Ring.
That card game. Oh, right, yeah.
Elden Ring. Elden Ring was 10 out of 10 for me. Absolutely fucking amazing.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I don't know if there is a 10 out of 10 game. 10 out of 10 says perfect. I don't think there is a perfect game.
Yeah, you haven't played Elden Ring, have you?
I was thinking about this, and I'm probably along the same lines as Dave, because straight away my first thought was Ocarina of Time. To me, that was just fantastic. It was just such an experience. I loved every minute. I've replayed it tons of times. Is it perfect? Probably not. I mean, it's
subjective, isn't
it? Does
10 out of 10 have to be perfect? I don't know.
I don't think it can be, right? So much of it's subjective. So I would say Ocarina of Time is something like that for me. Maybe Metal Gear Solid, you know, there's just...
Which one? All of them.
Metal Gear Solid, the first one.
Yeah. Maybe Metal Gear Solid 3 for me is one of my best ones. Obviously, Super Mario 64. That was a really good one. But yeah, like something with an amazing replay and sort of continual support and commitment to it. It's, you know, it's, a game like that is probably like World of Warcraft. You know, it's do anything in that.
People are always moaning about those games, though. No one's ever happy with the state of those games that have gone on forever, like Destiny.
Yeah,
everyone just fucking complains about them,
aren't there?
Yeah, but they're always loud as well, the moaners.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think there is a perfect game. And even a 10 out of 10 game isn't perfect for everybody. So,
you know what?
So what's
what
your
10
out of 10 game?
You know what?
What was perfect for you?
There's no game perfect for me. There's never, ever been a perfect game for me because I'm in a continual search for better, newer...
Oh, yeah?
New. Well, yeah, I've been playing games for 35 years.
Are you searching for that thing? That one? That's like your 10 out of 10.
Everyone is always. Everyone is. The whole marketing about games is this is the best game ever. You never need to buy a new game again because this does it.
Apart from this one, where you have to buy a new bit every year, otherwise we go out of business.
Yeah, you know, that's a model. That's most games model at the moment.
Apart from No Man's Sky, bizarrely, which keeps changing
No
every.
That's because they're still
months.
In the hole. They owe, man.
Yeah. Do they really owe after all this time? They've done so much.
I
think they owe, man. They overpromised.
Have you played it?
Mate, they overpromised so much on that.
Did
it
they?
Was just...
Yeah.
Hey, are you serious? Of course they did. They get Matey boy, what's his name, went on that tour.
One interview, I think,
Sean Murray.
Where all of this shit came from, I think.
No, it wasn't one interview at all. No. He was off promising this, that, all the other, all over the shop.
Most
it
of
was
the
just...
stuff he promised, I believe,
and I'm
has
not saying
come
it, I'm...
to pass, though, isn't it?
Right, finally. Yeah, so finally they're delivering.
But they haven't
right?
charged and... extra for any of it.
No, well, no.
Why should they? They said that we were all going to get it.
PlayStation stopped selling the game.
It just took a long time.
So bad. Like, they released it.
It's still
then...
shit. I'm not being funny. I played it.
No,
which was only in the last 12 months. And it was still shit then.
It's subjective, isn't it? I think they've done a lot to that game. I've played it last year. And from when I played it, when it
was. Have you played it from the beginning again in the last year?
I think I had to start a new game.
Mm.
So
that was shit.
Tell him to go pound sand, Dave.
So, compared to from what it was, that was a that's you know, I've been supporting that for like 4 or 5 years now, haven't they? So I think they did right on that one. They like PlayStation stopped selling the game because it was so overwhelmingly poorly received. But they've made continual updates and stuff on it now. So I'd actually defend that one. I wouldn't say it's a perfect game. It never was. And
fucking certainly
never,
isn't.
Never will be. But yeah, I don't know. I don't. It's a weird question. I like 10 out of 10 games. I think it's such a marketing ploy of this is the best game ever. You'll never need, and that's the whole review things. You know, getting people to look at reviews. Go, this is perfect. This is why it's all good. Like, I don't like those games. Like, it's not a 10 out of 10 game. It's not a 10 out of 10 game for me at all.
Yeah, it's subjective, right? So I think we're on the same page there.
So have we got anything that's close to the 10 out of 10?
Tetris.
Tetris.
As funny enough, that's actually nearly what I said at the start. It is the ultimate replayable game.
We are still making
game.
It.
Apart from making a Battle Royale version of it, there's not a lot really they've changed about it.
It's not Elden Ring, that's for sure.
You and your Elden Ring,
mate. You've got to fucking play it. So good.
I will one day.
When it comes to games,
maybe
the core gameplay of it is the main reason why we'll never play it and we'll never like it. I don't think Elden Ring respects my time.
Oh, mate, it's not a Dark Souls game.
Fight!
I'm not fighting. I just, you're just wrong. There's no fight about it.
All right. Thank you, Colm. Appreciate it. Go check out Last Save Loaded, his wonderful podcast. Lord, friend of the show, says, okay, here is another little... Oh, quiz. Quiz time. Lord says, here's another little quiz to fill in a little time. Number one. In Metal Gear Solid, what is Otacon's real name? Anyone know this?
Frank Butcher.
Anyone? I think...
Max Power.
If I remember correctly...
Is it a female Otacon? Or is it a male? I don't even know.
I believe it's Hal Emmerich. So somebody...
Wow.
I don't have Discord up, so if anybody
Hal
can check
Emmerich.
That. Yeah.
Hal Emmerich. Fucking boom.
Is that on? Yeah, I wasn't too sure, and then I remembered there's in Metal Gear Solid 2, he talks about his sister, EE, which stood for something Emmerich. So once I remembered that, then I was like, oh yeah, it's Hal Emmerich. Yeah, Hal Emmerich. So,
wow.
Nice.
I don't know how you got a memory for that. Jeez.
Because he's a Metal Gear fanboy, isn't he?
Metal Gear head.
Good old wet pants. Whatever that is,
I
don't know.
Good old Hal in his wet pants. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. In Metal Gear Solid, when he comes out of hiding, who's less than jolly fat? Is that Mark?
That's Mark. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't he change? I thought he changed his Twitch handle.
He changed it to that, didn't he?
No, I thought that was his. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever.
Hi, Mark. Question number two: what kind of animal is Tom Nook? That's what kind of animal is Tom Nook?
Right, I haven't played this.
I think
Fraser's
it's like
played
a
it.
Yeah, I've played it.
Fraser's played it.
Like a raccoon, or
that's my vote is a raccoon.
Is it a raccoon? Oh, I was going to say a koala.
No,
so
he's not
guess.
A koala.
You
imagine a koala running a business?
Go on.
Raccoon.
Get in.
Brilliant. Filthy animal. Filthy animal.
Aye, making it happen. How many points have you got so far, Neil?
Neil might be able to get this one.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually got a single question right out of all of Lord's quizzes, have I? Have I got
probably
one?
Not.
Maybe?
None. Question number three. What are the collectibles in Titanfall 2? What are the collectibles in Titanfall 2?
I liked Titanfall 2.
Mm.
Titanfall 2, everybody knows it's a good game.
Titanfall 2 is an amazing game.
I can't remember.
Don't remember collecting anything.
No, I don't remember collecting anything. I'm going to say a shiny CD or DVD disc.
I'm trying to think, going through that campaign. That was a brilliant campaign, and that.
There's
so
only
cool.
One bit I actually remember, though. There's only one bit you really remember. That's the the bit where you change travel through time. This is the bit everyone remembers.
I think that was the bit that started to bug me about it. The bit
you remember it though.
Yeah, the bit I remember though is like you're in some sort of massive factory that was building houses or something like that. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember that bit now you said about it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Did you collect any collectibles in the houses?
I don't know. I can't remember. Teddy bear. Ooh. Or were they gnomes or something? We've had gnomes. I don't know.
Gnome Chomsky was an answer last week.
Yeah, gnomes or something. Oh, maybe he's been a bit clever. There's a little bit of a gnome theme. He's trying to get a gnome
word, unless there's two or three words.
Oh.
Maybe I'm going with loudspeakers because we have a loudspeaker collector on the podcast.
I don't know. Teddy bear.
Dave?
I said CDs, DVDs. Oh,
it's fucking obviously. It's pilot helmets.
Is that obvious?
Well, if you think about it for more than fucking 30 seconds, probably.
I don't think so.
They're
all pilots, aren't they? Yeah. The Titans.
Well, it could be their lunchboxes then for their. I mean,
how much better is their? This has gone a bit weird. Helmets and lunchboxes.
All right, well done, Lord. I got 2 points. I win, reigning champion.
I'm obviously going to do shits next week.
Next from Quaxel, he says, "Hi, do you think the price of the PSVR 2 is a joke, as it's the same price as a console? I think this will put many people off who are originally interested." So PSVR 2 is what, coming in at what, like?
$550. So about £1,000 probably by the time we actually get it out. It's a lot of money. But here's a TV screen on your face, I guess.
Well, two.
Mm-hmm.
For each eye.
Two halves of a TV screen.
It's a lot of money. I think things are more expensive now. For sure,
it was always going to be a lot of money.
But the Quest is like gone up massively in price, hasn't it?
It went up 50 quid or whatever.
I think it's going to go up more than that for the next one, though. Don't they talking about the next one's going to be somewhere
the Quest Pro is $1,000? Stupid one. No, it's 1,500. It's mental. But that's not a consumer headset.
Oh.
There'll be a Quest 3, I guess. Is it Quest 3? Which won't be fucking crazy money. But, you know, everybody, it seems, tech-wise, is making a massive L of everything. So, like, Meta, aka Facebook, are fucking everything up. Have you seen the Metaverse? It's worse than PlayStation Home, which was out in 1996 or something.
I don't even know what that is. I keep hearing
it's
about it.
It's fucking bullshit is what it is.
It's basically PlayStation Home. Basically what it is. Or Second Life. That's a closer analogy.
But shitter.
But yeah.
And you have to have a fucking thing mounted on your head to do it. Which hurts.
Oh, is it all through the Quest then or something?
Yeah. It's fucking... They added people with legs though. Great. Well done. They still look like shit.
Hmm.
It's almost like these people have got too much fucking money and they don't know what to fucking do with it.
I think it's just, we're getting to a point in right now where I think the human race, or particularly those, you know, those of us in this sort of the first world country, right, where we have to realize how good we've had it for so long.
Yeah, you'll have to tell us all about what that's like now, obviously.
Are you, buddy? Where's England? Second world now.
Probably,
you guys must have dropped.
We're going full on third world soon, I reckon.
You know, it's just nuts. I mean, you know, to be able to buy a TV, you know, a massive flat screen TV for $500 or $600, it's just, that's, you know, just, if you told people that back like 30, 40 years ago, they'd just be like, what are you talking about? How could you possibly?
Well, that's like 20 years ago. I remember having like a 31-inch rear projected fucking massive TV. Like depth wise, but it's 31-inch, but that was like, ooh, you know, the really big thing, and it wasn't cheap.
No, it would have cost an arm and a leg as well, right?
Yeah, Yeah.
They were gigantic, though.
There's only so long, you know, the world can keep pumping out shit at cheap prices. I mean, it's just... Yeah. It's just
I feel like those days have already passed.
They are passing in front of our eyes, right? I think, whether we like it or not. And then, you know, I don't know. I'm just of the opinion.
Bloody Chinese wanting more money.
Well, it's not the Chinese. It's, you know, well, it is the Chinese, you know, but...
They've
it's
got
us
rich.
As, it's us as well. You know, we've made back, you know, we make massive. I'm off on one now. But, you know, we've basically tapped into fucking a ludicrous amount of energy on the cheap, which has enabled all this, you know. Yeah. And we've basically just completely shit on the world doing it, you know. And there's a price to be paid for that. Now, hopefully, you know, economically, things start to right the ship because you just can't keep going on like that. I mean, look at the amount of plastic everywhere. Look at the amount of oil. I mean, I worked for this guy. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know, well, I was just going to say, this is one of the things I always kept in check for me, right? And I know I'm off on one now, but I don't care. Is it this guy I worked? This guy I worked with, every day he would drive in and it would take him like close to an hour or whatever to drive in, an hour and a half to drive in. And I just remember saying to him, you know, well, think of it like this. You know, how many liters of gas do you burn, you know, do you have to put in the car every day to do that journey? And say he just says, you know, just imagine taking a pail of 20 liters of gasoline, right? And just burning it every day. Like, how can that be good? How can that be good? It just can't. It can't.
20 liters a day?
Easy.
What are you driving?
Well, I don't know.
12-liter truck.
No, maybe more. I mean, I don't know. Like, I just pulling that number out of my ass. But it's not going to be much less, I wouldn't have thought. You know, we just can't do that.
Do not put gasoline in your ass.
Well, I don't know. Doesn't that cure COVID or something? I don't know. Anyway, let's not start.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking for a new mobile at the moment. I'm up for 2 years.
Don't even start with mobiles.
But I'm looking at mine going, it still works.
Like, yes, keep it.
I might as well just get a cheap sim. Like,
yes, and that's what you do.
Yeah, because like, and then if that die, if my phone, like, I think what it is I'm scared that my phone will die, and then I won't have a mobile for a little while.
Don't worry about the wife and the kids.
Don't worry about the wife and the kids.
If my phone dies, I won't be able to get one for probably 2 hours before I get to a shop.
Yeah. But yeah, like. Yeah, it's just like, but the amount of texts and messages, like, oh, your phone's coming up for renewal. You know, there's these new shiny ones that ultimately work out.
Well, think, pull one out for those people who've still got to make money selling your contracts and stuff like that. Because if you don't give them a new contract, then they're going to be out of a job.
No, I don't think so.
No.
No.
It's all done on a fucking computer these days. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going back to the VR, because this was a question or a discussion I was going to have last week, but we didn't really have time.
I'm not sure I've actually addressed the actual question.
It's not even a question. It was just interesting that we had friends over. We had friends over a couple of weeks ago, and then we had another friend over last week. And none of them had tried VR before. And we put I said, come on, you might as well try it. Have you never tried VR? Try it. And I'd forgotten the impact that it has on people when they've not played it. And I got a text message from a friend of mine today. He just got a Quest 2. And he's just like, it's fucking amazing. It's fucking amazing. And so, you know, where are we with this? It's sort of like in the background now for me. I don't really think about it much, but it was really fascinating to put the VR on people.
It is when you try it for the first time, it is mind blowing, and you probably feel sick as well, which I don't know. That's probably not a good part of it. But after a while, the novelty completely wears off, and it's just a fucking inconvenience.
It's an inconvenience
thing on my face.
Yeah,
and it hurts. It's too heavy. You can't use it if you wear glasses. It's a fucking pain in the ass. Well, it's a pain in the face, with you, even more so if you wear glasses.
If it's a pain in the ass, you're using it wrong.
Yeah.
That's BR.
It's just like, there's too many fucking... It's just like, it's not that good that it's worth putting up with all of the shit that goes with it.
But my son uses it all the time.
Is he really?
Is he using the Quest?
Yeah. He is on it all the time. He cannot stop playing. He buys new
VR. Oh, yeah,
you
can get the VR X hamster now, isn't it? And
I don't know about that. But yeah, that could be something on his radar, I guess. But he's constantly buying new VR games and trying them out and then refunding them. But he always goes back to Blade and Sorcery, I think, is the one that he plays a lot. Because they're constantly updating.
It's just
a fighting game.
Yeah.
You know, where you pick up stuff and hack and slash things. You know, yeah. I walk by his computer and just see him just lopping the head off something, right? But he loves it.
So playing with other people.
Sorry, wildly gesturing for people on the podcast. I was wildly gesturing on the camera, imitating him, I don't know, pretending
flailing.
To slap somebody up. Yeah. Yeah.
Or just basically what you look like when you play VR.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're having a silly slap fight with somebody. There's only a small amount of people who can actually make VR, playing VR, look cool. But there's not many of those people. Even if you think you look cool, and if you watch a video of yourself doing it, you're like, I look like such a fucking twat. Anyway. The actual question that we got asked was about PSVR 2 and the price. It's more than a PS5, I think.
Yeah, well, of course the price is going to put people off, you know.
I don't know. Yeah. I think the people who were into it would just fucking buy it anyway, assuming they've still got the money and
but
jobs.
As people are into it, I think the first PSVR was substantially cheaper and it got a lot of people into it. But I don't think
the PlayStation 4 was substantially cheaper also than the PS5.
Well, so. I think it's logical to say the price is going to put people off. Of course it is. There's going to be, you know, if it's more expensive than the last one, there's going to be people, you know, times are tougher. Of course, I'd be interested to see how they do.
The biggest problem is not necessarily the tech being a bit more expensive, it's that every fucking thing else is more expensive.
Yeah, of course.
People put aside money for their niceties. And when you're paying triple probably what you were paying for your gas and electric bill and your fucking mortgage or whatever, then you've got less money to spend all on all the niceties. So that's where I don't think it's particularly expensive, to be honest. The PSVR 2.
Oh, look at all money for what they're offering.
I'm not gonna get one. It's a lot of money. I'm not saying it's not a lot of money, but for what they're offering, I don't think it's that bad. Compared to what else there is out there, it's much better than the Quest 2 in terms of the resolutions available, the whatever you want to call them, hand controllers, I don't know what they're fucking calling them this time, look better than everything else. It looks like the best version of VR there is.
Yeah.
Apart from there's a wire attached to your PlayStation, which is that is the biggest problem for the PSVR 2.
If anybody ever asked me, I'd say get a Quest 2 first, if you want to try it out, if you really like it, then get a really good one.
The problem is, right, with the Quest 2, is there's only one good game. Beat Saber.
Mm.
And everything else is basically shit.
Yeah. But
hang on a second. I do take issue with that. I don't know.
The table Neil's tennis game's good. Tennis game's good.
Okay, so but, now you're
but
arguing.
Most VR games are just shit.
I'm not arguing that. But you can't just sit there and go, everything is shit except for this one game I like. Yeah. Well, you can.
The whole podcast is
pretty much based around that. But
everybody likes Beat Saber.
It's not only that. I think it's the other games that are experiences, that not actual games that people enjoy. I know when I've had friends around, it's like the walking over the ledge of the big building, and you look down and it's fucking
that stuff that makes you feel sick. It's great, isn't it? For the first 10 minutes, and then you go, I'm just going to take this fucking thing off because I'm actually going to vom.
But
it's fucking stupid.
It's those experiences.
VR's
yeah.
stupid.
He's in one of his moves. Yeah. All right, let's move
on.
He
hasn't had his nap today, has he?
Okay.
I had a long sleep, don't worry. But I got out of bed at about 12:30 today.
All right. Let's move on to what we've been doing. I printed my notes off too early, so I can't see if Neil's got anything in there. You could start.
I haven't done anything.
Okay.
I don't remember doing anything other than work and play a certain video game the last 7 days.
Yeah. I have car tire written in here for as interesting as this might sound. Car tire. So when I bought my car.
Not on my notes. And I haven't printed them.
No, I just wrote it
in. Did you write that on by with a pen?
Yeah, with a pen on paper. Fucking hell. I know. Old school, mate.
How are we supposed to see that?
You're not. It's a surprise. Are you excited?
I am.
So when I bought my car, it came with a set of snow tires, but one of the tires had a crack in it. It's an alloy. Anyway, it's cracked, right? The alloy rim is cracked.
The rim is cracked. I was like, the tire is made of alloy. What?
No. So I said, my guy said, I'll get this repaired and then I'll let you know when it's done. So they weld it and fix it. So I went up there to get it today and I go to get it off him and it's flat and I'm like, fuck. So I had to go and take the tire to a tire shop.
So he didn't pump it. It didn't put any air in it for you.
No, it was leaking. So I think what happened was the guys who
buckled the alloy,
welded the alloy, didn't basically seat the tire properly or whatever like that. So I don't know. I have no idea how dodgy this tire is going to be once I end up putting it on my car. But I'm going to put it on anyway. Fuck it. Doesn't matter.
It's all right. It's only snow.
Snow tires. Snow tires are good to have on your car.
Lower pressure actually helps with more grip. So
I think no pressure is a problem, though.
No pressure is a problem, yeah.
Are they run flat tires? Run flat snow tires.
No, not run flat, no. And I'm sure that this got cracked because it's low profile, so...
That's the worst thing, isn't it, in the snow? You're supposed to have narrow tires are good in the snow, I believe.
Well, they're the same size as my normal tires, but they're wider rims, right? So the side profile is quite low. So I think what happened is whoever had it before hit a pothole and basically
smashed it,
cracked.
Oh, was he driving in the UK?
How's your pothole situation? Pretty bad over there these days, isn't it?
The pothole situation is really good. It's the road situation between the potholes is pretty bad. If they just evened it out.
If you just had a massive pothole, it would probably just be better than the road.
So I dropped that tire off. So the tire shop's going to reseed it basically. And he's going to tell me whether it's any good or not, if they can make sure that that leak gets fixed. So that's about as interesting.
I've got
as
a car
gets.
Story for you because the QQ. What? Is driving me fucking mental.
The cash key, because
I was at work the other night, stood outside. I don't normally stand outside at break times, but my colleague is a smoker / vapor, so we go outside talking to him, and someone comes into work with another QQ, slightly older, locks their car with their fucking remote key, fucks off inside, literally got about 10 steps inside, the car alarm goes off. So she comes back, presses the button to stop it. I said, oh, you got a set of Nissan? I wasn't really paying attention. I was like, oh, so I saw the key fob. I was like, oh, that's a fucking Nissan key fob. Like, oh, you got a Nissan? She's like, yeah, it's driving me mental, this car, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, mine's mental. I press the key to unlock it, right? Get in the fucking car, press the button to start the car, and it says, can't find the key. I'm like, I've just fucking used the key to open the fucking car, you stupid bloody thing. All right. So I think the battery is basically going. So I have to tap.
No, I was just about to say, have you replaced the battery in your key fob? Right.
I have to tap the thing. I push the key to whatever, the press start button. It tends to work. But I'm more concerned. Like I'm concerned that at some point it's going to go, oh, I can't find the key. And you're like doing 70 miles an hour down the fucking road. It just decides to shut the engine off and fucking do like that. But hopefully it doesn't do that. But anyway, another thing, driving the car today, the fucking parking sensor is just going off constantly. I'm like, for fuck's sake, there's clearly nothing in front of me. What are you doing? It's a fucking broken.
What, as you're driving?
Yeah, I'm just driving, like not very fast.
Yeah.
And it's just going beep, beep, red fucking marks on the fucking parking. I'm like, for fuck's sake, you stupid fucking car.
Has it got a leaf in front of it? Like,
no, there's nothing. I got out of the car. I parked up, took my daughter to work, took her to work, got out of the car, went and had a look. wave my hands around everywhere in front of the
You wipe them down.
Yeah, give me a bit of a rub with my hands. Nothing like fancy. Get back in the car, put it in first gear. I was like, for fuck's sake, stupid fucking thing.
No. I'll be straight to the fucking...
It's doing my fucking head in. The DAB's been programmed at some point to fucking Russian DAB frequencies, so it doesn't... it just suddenly fucking cuts out and listens to the radio. It's fucking... It's like, I read about that online. Like, so I think it's true, because like you'll be listening to the radio and it just goes off. You're like, what's that doing? And then it'll come back on a couple of minutes.
Don't get
later.
Just get some
look it up online. It says, oh yeah, all the UK dealers at one point when they had them in for service... bizarrely retuned the DABs to Russian frequencies. I was like, how the fuck do you do something like that? Anyway.
Just for shits and giggles.
Don't buy a Nissan.
This is one of those points I forget about in the podcast. Because I sometimes think, we don't swear that much on the podcast. And then I listen to and then you get these points.
And like, Neil comes on.
Good old cars. Hey, you got to love them.
Bloody stupid thing. See? Toned it down a bit after swearing yet again there.
Yeah, that's all I got. I really have nothing. I mean, we're really scraping the barrel there. Dave?
Thanks for that.
Well, I watched a trilogy of films.
Ooh.
I've only seen one of them before.
Lord of the Rings.
No. Better.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. The Unbreakable...
First one's not that good.
I like that.
First one's great.
Split and Glass by M. Dan who is also in all three of the films as well.
Yeah, but he puts himself in all his movies, doesn't he?
Is he wearing a red top or something, Steely, like in every single one of them?
Something else? I know in Split he was doing something on a computer, and in Glass he was in a shop. Talking about getting some cameras. I can't remember what it was in Unbreakable. I really, really enjoyed them. Obviously, Split was a film that only came into actually being part of the Unbreakable series because they randomly put what's his name in. Bruce Willis in the
because
the
they
end.
Basically decided after the fact just to shoehorn it in to like make some more money.
That's it. It was like, let's
this film's not doing as well as we thought. Oh, we just slam it in this trilogy randomly.
So, I think originally there was an idea to have the trilogy, but Unbreakable didn't do fantastic at the box office and didn't warrant a sequel straight away. So they got Split made and basically went, yeah, we can shoehorn this in. And they did, and then made Glass, which is also actually a really good movie.
So you see, Unbreakable and Glass seem related, but I haven't seen Glass.
Split? Have you seen Split?
No, that's...
Split is James McAvoy. Right. That is a fantastic film. He is.
Yeah, but what the hell have they? Why have they shoehorned this into this trilogy? It feels like that's nothing to do with any of the others.
It is basically. It's the origin story of the one of the baddies in Glass.
Right.
Yeah, and it's
which. What's that got to do with the first one? Other than
it all comes together in Glass. No. You've got to watch him. You've got to watch him as a trilogy.
I don't have to.
To understand it.
It's not the law. It's not the law.
God, he's in one of those movies, isn't he?
I don't know who's seen Split, but James McAvoy in Split is like when you watch it, you actually watch it and go, he's an amazing actor.
Oh yeah. Like,
and it must have been such a fun role. If anybody's unaware, it's James McAvoy plays a character who has a split personality. He's got like 20 odd different personalities, and
he just goes to town on it,
doesn't he? The shift between in the same scene between like two, three different characters and their mannerisms and how they talk, like act and talk, and Yeah, and it carries on into Glass as well. And even though Bruce Willis and what's his name, Samuel Jackson, yeah, like James McAvoy outshines them as actors, the character he plays is a bigger part than those two put together. I think they have their bits, but yeah, Bruce Willis being a old grumpy action hero, and Samuel Jackson playing a very clever but not physically strong character. That's their roles. But James McAvoy playing 20 different characters, especially in Split and in Glass, it's just fantastic, and it's just a good time to watch. Yeah. The films are, you know, and the subjects are very weird and odd, but they're superhero films.
Better than Marvel, obviously.
And it I think in Glass they are trying. They did
You're right there, mumbling in the corner, mumbles.
they do try and shoot. They're trying to sort of build a bigger story about things behind the scenes, behind these characters. So yeah, he's trying to sort of build a franchise behind it, and that was a little bit cheap in my eyes. They could have not done that and just finished it, but yeah, it's good. Definitely watch Split if you haven't watched
it. What made you watch them?
Don't know. I just thought I fancied watching something a bit different, and I liked Unbreakable. I was like, I haven't seen Split or Glass.
Did you watch Unbreakable again?
Yes.
Yeah. I loved Unbreakable. I thought it was great.
Yeah. It's really good.
Split's on Netflix, it says.
Split's on. I think I watched it on Sky Go, or on Sky Premier. Can't remember.
It's not on Sky, because I just checked that, because I have Sky.
Well, I don't know. Or downloaded it. Or somewhere.
I won't ask.
Was it on Amazon?
Arr, matey.
Arr.
Unbreakable says it's on Disney. Hang on. Yeah, Disney Plus and Prime Video.
Yeah,
Split's sure on Netflix.
Download. I don't know.
This is UK, but yeah, obviously.
They're good. If you get a chance to watch them, watch them.
Glass has got a really shockingly bad rating.
It shouldn't do. Sure is.
IMDb is 6.6. Ooh.
That's not shockingly bad, though. I mean, that's a few people.
It is compared to the other two.
I like it. Well, all right. Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's about it, really. That's been my week, other than working. And oh, I did make some really good home pizzas.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah, just cooked them in the oven.
As opposed to where?
No, a lot of people have special pizza ovens.
Yeah, no, I
haven't.
Like,
you can do them on the barbecue.
You can do them on the barbecue. You can do them under the grill, but I didn't do that. No, it was in the oven at 220 for 7 minutes.
220? It's quite low.
220?
Celsius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? I don't know.
My thing's telling me to do them at like fucking 250. And it's like, wow, that's hot.
That is flames coming out the oven then.
Yeah.
So I've done ham and pineapple for...
A what?
Ham and pineapple. You can put fruit on pizza?
You can't put pineapple on pizza.
You can put anything on a pizza. It doesn't change the fact that pineapple
on pizza. You put olives on there as well with your ham and pineapple.
I put peppers.
I'm hungry now.
I put peppers and olives, green olives chopped up. And a few jalapeno
green olives.
And a bit of
cheese.
Lacto-free cheese. No, lacto-free cheese. I put on there.
This but is not a, sounding like a pizza.
I made a sauce. I made a sauce out of sauce? What's the tomato sauce?
Ketchup.
No, not ketchup. No. When you blitz like chop.
Passata.
A bit of garlic, some basil, and
look at him go.
So yeah, the missus.
Then you ruined it by putting ham and pineapple on top.
Yeah. The missus had spinach and what did she have? Spinach and something else.
Oh, she had a grown-up pizza.
She had a vegetarian one.
Peppers.
Peppers.
Onions.
Yeah.
Bit of red onion.
Mushrooms. Red onions. Yes. Spinach and onion, and then no mushrooms. No. And then the daughter had
spinach and onion when you want to be able to lift up your girlfriend but kill her with your breath.
Daughter had anchovies.
I do like an anchovy
With ham and cheese, normal cheese.
Nice. All right, I'll show you daughter's pizza.
I had a microwaved pizza the other day. That's how good it was. Ever.
Really?
Yep. Chicago town. Oh, mini little deep dish things. Stick them in the microwave. 2 minutes comes out, and you're like, "That looks fucking disgusting," but you eat it anyway.
Chicago, and I had a proper Chicago deep dish pizza, and I can tell you that you will never be able to replicate that in a microwave ever.
I've had them before and put them in the oven, and they've been okay, but they're never good. I've never classified them as good.
Fraser, are you a deep pan pizza person?
Actually, I prefer thin crust pizzas.
You're thin.
Yeah, but the thing is with the Chicago pizza, and I'm sure that some people may tell me I'm wrong or have different opinions, but from what I understand, we went to Chicago and had a deep dish, proper Chicago deep dish pizza. And that is more like eating a pie. Like it's that thick, and the crust it's a lot more like a pie crust, I found, than a pizza crust.
So what's the thick bit, the filling?
Yeah, it's massively thick, yeah.
What, the tomato?
It was more like a pie.
So it's a tomato and cheese pie with pepperoni in it.
Whatever you want in it, I guess. I don't know.
But a dough-based pie rather than pastry.
It was almost more pastry-like, though, if I remember correctly. But it's interesting anyway. If you're ever in Chicago, check it out.
I'm not going to likely to be in Chicago.
But... Why not?
Because so it's could get in America.
I could get a steak and ale pizza.
Why would I go there?
Anyway,
I've got enough wind here,
thank you very much.
Chicago is one of those cities that I've been to Chicago a few times, and it's like a really, like it's the, I think it's one of the murder capitals of the states, right?
Oh, you're
and I've
really
walked around
this.
Chicago and just feared for my life everywhere I've gone. But it's one of those, I'm just strangely just drawn to it. I think it's great. Right. I just think it's got so much history in
it's
America.
It's possibly the least romantic place in the world.
Possibly. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's great. okay. Well, let's move on then to what we've been playing. Dave.
This won't take long.
It won't take long. Dave, you're up first, and then we'll finish off on the only thing that we've been playing.
Cool.
Disgraceful.
Okay. Yeah. So I've played a couple of games this week. I'll go with my first choice. I don't know if Neil's frantically.
I'm not ready. You're going to have to tell me, and I'm going to type it in.
Modern Warfare 2.
Okay. You have been playing campaign or
multiplayer?
Multiplayer.
I haven't actually played any campaign yet.
So what brought this on? This is not something I expected to see.
No, not at all, and me neither, to be honest. Like, I know we talked about it last week, and we kind of said, wait for it to come down in price. And, you know, I was sitting there the other day, and I was like, I've got nothing.
If only there was a game I could play with other people.
If only there was a game, well, the problem is I enjoy my games to play where I don't have to think, or, like, there's literally no thought about it. And I've realized recently is I play games to escape and like not even chat. Maybe I just have something on YouTube or on Netflix on the other screen or have some music on in the background. And you know, not even talk to people. Just like I just want to escape for half hour, an hour. And I have been playing a lot of games where there's been a lot of work behind like thinking and understanding and learning, and sometimes I get really bored of that, and I'm like, I don't want to. I just want to do anything else. So a lot of
brain
times,
dead
I'm,
stuff.
Yeah, I just like a lot of times I play Wreckfest, which is literally bomb around a track, and half the time actually die before you actually do like a lap. But I just have something on the other screen and just watch it and go, oh, okay, well, I'll start again then. I'll play another game. And then we spoke about Modern Warfare 2 last week, and I was like, I did have one of the Modern Warfares recent, not well, in the last couple of years on Blizzard. I think it was Blizzard.
That'll be Modern Warfare 1 then.
I think it was.
Well, Modern Warfare 3. The new Modern Warfare.
Oh, I don't bloody know.
How do you differentiate? Like, we can work this out. You got Modern Warfare 2 now, so probably the one you had before was Modern Warfare.
Yeah, but how do you call that? Because there's been two Modern Warfare. So are you calling the old one?
Yeah, but he
Modern
said
Modern
it was
Warfare.
Only a year or two ago, right?
Well, you could have played the old one onto the PC.
I doubt it. Look, he's just gone out and drop the bunts on the brand new one. He's not going to be playing old ones. Look, he's got pig, hasn't he?
He's not played the previous, the in between CODs is what you're saying. You've only had Modern Warfare and you haven't bought Black Ops or whatever it was.
No, I didn't get the Black
or
Ops
Vanguard or... and fucking
No. God,
you know, Pilch is sitting there screaming right now.
Yeah,
the CODs.
So
he hasn't bought any of them other ones either.
I think he bought Black Ops.
No,
four, didn't he?
He's had every card.
And like Warzone, I enjoyed for a little bit, but it was quite stressful to play. I'm not really
you
massively into
cool Warzone. I didn't really find Warzone to be the same like stress levels as you get in like the PUBGs and type things. It's COD multiplayer, but Warzone. Because
the thing is, I enjoyed the smaller maps with that, the where it was a quicker sort of game style. After that conversation last week, I was like, I do want something, and I kept on looking at it. And
I'm
going
to take that conversation we had, and I'm going to push it to the side.
I looked at it again, and then who was I watching? I was watching Kev Highland Caper. He did a few streams of it, and I was like, actually, I really like the look of this. And I thought I'll buy it and I'll on Steam, and I'll refund it if I don't like it. And I bought it and I streamed it for an hour and a bit, and I was like, actually, I'm really enjoying this.
Well, can't argue with that.
So I bought it with the intention of, you know, if I'm not enjoying it as much as I thought I would, I'll refund it. But like at the end of that, I was like, I'm not refunding this, because this is going to be my go-to game now for like just random shit. I'm playing like just when I want to mong out and think about anything other than my life, work, family, everything else. Like it's a very single focused and it's not too stressful, so I was happy with that.
You've only played it for a couple of hours. I'm sure you'll get annoyed of it soon.
It's not one of the games where like I would be sitting at work and I'm like, oh, I must play some Modern Warfare.
No.
But it's a game where I'd finish work and the miss like, oh, can you come and do some tidying? I was like, yeah, hang on a second. I just got to do this. Like,
I've just done a game.
Modern Warfare 1 for like a couple of games. But it's like, because with some of these other big games like X4 and Wimworld and stuff, like I know when I jump into those games, it's going to be like 2 hours minimum session of starting it up. Have an idea that I'll finish at a decent time, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Not because like time just vanishes and it's so in depth trying to manage 15 different things at the same time that like You look at the time, oh, for God's sake, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I need to shut this down, save and close. Like, and just put no thought behind it. Like, not even like, oh, just do this one more thing. Because if I know if I do this one more thing, it'll turn into another hour.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, these Call of Duty multiplayer matches, 15 minutes max, and you're done. So yeah. So I picked it up. It's Call of Duty.
You not played with Pilch then yet?
Not played with Pilch yet, no. If I see him online, I will pop into his game. I am very low level, and still there is a little bit of learning about how weapon
it's
upgrades.
All map knowledge, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. The map player. Knowledge. I don't know the names of the maps. I've played one or two of the same. Again, I don't. It's very easy to know if you've jumped into a map and you've got the wrong weapon. I did that on a few
games. You had a shotgun, I saw, and that looked like the wrong weapon. Why do they even bother putting fucking shotguns in this game?
There are some.
Wise, what's the point?
Yeah, they're fun to use sometimes.
Yeah, what? there is
like
some map
once
that is
every
really good.
Fucking 3 days.
If you camp a particular corner on
they
one
don't
of
like,
the maps.
They've made impossible to camp as well now, haven't they? I don't know, I saw something about they don't like campers. And no one likes a Call of Duty camper.
Well,
I do.
No,
it's me.
Yeah. Nobody's ever liked a camper. That's the whole point. Camping is a derogative term of something.
It's even worse when they're on your team, I can assure you.
You have to be courageous to be a camper.
Mm.
Says the camper. so yeah. So here's that one. The other game I put on played about I've got about half hour, 45 minutes.
Well, this is definitely not even scratched the surface in this fucking game.
Persona 5 Royale.
Oh, yeah.
Neil's getting the video.
Scrabbling around for the video.
Oh, no, I'm not scrabbling. I was already ahead of that one.
So,
I just had to press a button.
Okay, how do I describe this game in the time
it's
that
an
played?
RPG, right?
It's a role playing game. You're playing as a character that is basically moved, or you know, you end up in a small town city because I don't know reasons your parents have sent you away because of something.
Parents.
It's a very Japanesey trope. You're new in a high school. I don't know. But the start
people
of the game
dying
is,
or something, or people getting murdered or something.
So the start of the game is you play as the character that you are robbing a casino. And the only way I can describe it is it's kind of like a Final Fantasy moving through a level and then you encounter enemies. And it's a very stylized and story driven progress in this level that you start off with. And Final Fantasy, it's basically a turn-based fighting game. So you choose whether you defend, attack, use a special ability, or use a item. And then the enemy attacks you. And then you do the same. You choose whether you attack. So it's turn-based combat. But I'm doing finger quotes, played 45 minutes. I've watched about 40 minutes.
Literally done the fucking, pressed the button about three times.
Yeah, literally. Like, yeah, there was so little playing. It was a story being told to me. One good thing though is when I saw it, I thought I'm going to pick it up because I haven't.
Everybody loves this game. People go on about these games like they're fucking the best thing ever.
Yeah. So
and I've never played one.
So
Neil's going to tell you why they're wrong.
I picked it up on Xbox. It's on
the Game Pass in a minute.
Yep. So I started downloading it. It's like 55 gig. That's a lot. Oh, okay. Right. So I started downloading it. And I was like, oh, I've got Xbox on my mobile phone. I'll just have a quick look. And I started playing, again, air quotes, watching the story. on my mobile device over, I don't know what it's called, online Game Pass?
Xbox Cloud Streaming, yeah. Or whatever it's fucking called these days.
Yeah. So, I actually managed to consume...
So there's no are you walking around? Like, there looks like there was a bit of walking around.
Yes, there is a bit of walking around. So wouldn't you do this this first sort of story interaction, you then get placed into your character that is sort of dumped at the end in a town city. And it's kind of a little bit like Yakuza, in that you have a town and you walk around and you find shops and you've got to sort of discover.
Can you beat up fools?
Not where I'm at the moment, but I'm only a very short way into it. But yeah, I found where I needed to go to a coffee shop, where I then found my uncle, who was taking me in, and then there's just a lot of story. I will play a little bit more. I'll watch a little bit more of it.
Hundreds of hours to finish, apparently, doesn't it?
This is not.
When you load onto Game Pass.
Mm.
When you go to the install screen or whatever on PC, this is, I don't know how it works. I don't think it does this on console. It's all linked in with How Long to Beat,
right,
the website. So before you install it, it says takes. I've just pinged out my headphones. Bear with me a second. It says it takes the games that I download, they go, oh, it takes 5 to 6 hours to play this game. Mm. I'm having trouble finding the hole. This is. There we go. Oh yeah. I don't know what it says for Persona 5 Royale. I bet it's fucking hundreds of hours, like 100 odd hours.
I don't know. That's
Proteus, that's not... whatever I had the other week, that said like 5 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
Something else I downloaded this week was like 4 hours. I was like, yeah, these are my games that I might actually play in between other things.
Let's have a look. Sorry, I'm literally just on it. Persona 5, Persona 5 Royale. Oh, it doesn't actually say on here.
Oh, not enough people have played it yet, have they? I don't think so.
Full details. Playable. Okay, how long to beat? 103 hours for the main story.
Oof. Yeah, well, what's about the completionist?
143.
Oof. It keep you busy, wouldn't it?
So
you'll be out and you won't even bother going to bed playing this game. It's like those 2 o'clock in the morning bedtimes are out the window.
Oh, I could do it in a week, no sleep. Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm gonna do 103 hours of the main story to do it, but yeah. No,
so how did it go on the mobile? How is it playing on the mobile? What I have noticed is some games have like a custom overlay, but other games use like sort of like a standard, like left stick, right stick, and the A, B, blah, blah, blah. They'll have the buttons on there, but some of them have got like special graphics around them to make it like, I think it's Minecraft Dungeons and things like that. They've got like Minecrafty looking controls.
No, I think it was just like a standard Xbox sort of controller overlay, but as I said, I didn't really get to use it because it was more just watching it.
Yeah. I mean, turn-based strategy games and things like that are probably fine for cloud streaming. But I played a few things on the cloud games, and anything that requires you moving at a camera with any sort of accuracy was just an absolute fucking pain in the ass because there's too much lag.
Yeah. So I think this is probably a perfect game to do on the cloud gaming on the mobile because minimal turn-based, you know, it's not action and that you have to whip the camera around.
We've watched about 10 minutes of the shit that you were playing on the stream.
I will play a little bit more of it. I'm intrigued by it.
You've not played any of the other Personas?
No, never.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
I missed out on that. It was like a something for people 10 years at least younger than me that got into.
Hmm.
it's just one of those odd, huge franchises that you just have to sort of like, well, maybe we should go take a look at it and just see what's going on. And
yeah, there is the art style and the story is very Japanese. It's like, it's from what, so I used to be into like manga and stuff like that 10, 15 years ago. And it's so overblown now. Like, it's a parody on, to me, it's like a parody on top of a already like over centralized art form anyway. But yeah, it's to me, it kind of feels like it's taken the piss out of itself a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to see how it goes.
It's easy to look at it and see the quality that's there, though. No, I mean,
it's very stylish, stylized, or whatever.
They've got little things there, like the movement of the voice ribbons and things like that, or whatever. Or just subtle things which look like, you know, it's got chops, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. There's definitely a lot of thought and effort has gone into it, and yeah, like you can watch it or sort of interact with it and it be a story. And there is minimal, sometimes there's minimal, there is even options to auto sort of play the text in front of you. So yeah, you can watch it and just enjoy it. And then there's gets to the bits where you make, or for me, when I play it, is that there's just a, when you interact with it, is you continue the story by beating the other characters, or you know, meeting up, exploring the town. But even where you're exploring the town, it looks really good. It's the same art style and everything as what we're seeing on screen. Is that basically the story moments? You don't ever feel like you're being taken out of the world to be shown a video or just continue the story, because it's all the same. So yeah, it's quite good. But yeah, I do want to put more time into it just to like see actually like what it is, because as you say, these are big, and you know, I have been into my manga before, but I've never played them. But as soon as it's on Xbox and it's free, I was like, eh, I'll give it a go, and I want to see how it goes.
Yeah, it does. It, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure I'd play it, to be honest, but it does. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's definitely got its own.
Did you say it was on Game Pass?
It's on Game Pass. Yeah. And cloud gaming. Sit on the toilet for half hour at work.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's really fine. When you cloud game on your, are you playing with a controller? You have that just straight on the phone.
Just straight on the phone.
It's good. This has got touch controls. Yeah, because some of them some of the cloud stuff hasn't got touch controls,
doesn't it?
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I should set it up on my iPad.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say it's like it's all in front of you, the screen, and then like there's a little on the left hand side. There's a little like controller where you can move around.
Yeah, so you're actually using a virtual stick,
a virtual left stick, yeah.
Some of the games, like Slay the Spire, I think, has got like literally it's like a touch screen game, like an iPad game, controls via cloud streaming. That game is, it's all like, it would be a shitter with a virtual controller,
right?
But yeah, a lot of the games, like so, a lot of games on that are touch controlled on your phone are not particularly great, but not some games are well suited. Like anything like turn-based combat, stuff like that, where there's no like, I need to be super accurate with my controls. It's just like flicking through menus, effectively. Yeah. That's all fine. And anything that has actually got a touchscreen interface, like I'm sure Slay the Spire has, it actually works completely fine. You just might get a little bit of artifacting every now and again, but whatever.
I did have a little bit of screen tearing on my mobile, but let's say I've got a Google Pixel 4a, which is like actually probably about 5 or 6 years old now. So technology wise, it feels like it sometimes. This is going back to my conversation earlier when I was like, I'm looking at a new phone. I keep on getting, it's because I've looked for like new phones recently. I keep on getting advertised and news stories about all the reviews on these new phones. Oh, God's sake. So yeah, I'm trying to talk myself out
don't
of this.
Don't do it.
All right. So yeah, those are the games I've been playing. I don't know what you guys have been playing.
Yeah, you do.
I have played a very small amount of another game that crashed my computer for some reason earlier. Because this also looked cool in its own special way. It's actually been out quite a long time, apparently. There's a year ago videos I'm seeing on YouTube. I didn't realise it had been out that long. It came out to Game Pass this week. It's called The Legend of Tian Ding. It's based on some Taiwan... I think it's history rather than mythology. I think it's actually like a thing. That sort of potentially actually happened. So it sort of cuts when it opens up. It's all like a comic strip. All the story comes through in like comic strip panel boxes and things like that. And then when you hit into the game, it's like a 2D side on. I guess like a brawler from what I've seen so far. Like I say, I really, really, literally played it for 10 minutes, but right. it does look very cool so far. So you're playing as this legendary folk hero type character who's goes and beats up. He's like a Robin Hood,
right?
Like he'll go and attack rich people and stuff, and like be a hero for the poorer people because most people are the poor. Obviously, this is like sounding like 2022. a lot of people on the bottom end and some few rich people, you know, hoarding everything. But yeah, so it's very simple combat so far. You just press like square to I'm talking PlayStation controllers because that's what I'm using. Square's like the attack button, X is jump. You can rob people of their weapons and use their weapons and chuck them away and shit like that. But the visual style is very cool, I think. There's quite a lot of story. But I have literally played it for 10 minutes and I will go back to this and get a bit more into it. But if anyone has the Game Pass, they should, Fraser, probably. Download it and what should they do?
Check it out.
Yeah. It looks cool.
What's it called?
The Legend of Tian Ding. It's a bit different. It's all the language, all the spoken from so far is in like, I assume Taiwanese. Is it Taiwanese? I don't even know what it's called. But that's a bit rude of me, but I should have probably checked that out. But there are English subtitles for people.
It's either Cantonese.
Who are English speaking.
Or
Cantonese. It's not Cantonese because that's Chinese. It's definitely not Chinese.
Well, there's lots of Chinese, isn't there? There's Mandarin as well.
Yeah, but this is Taiwan, which is like, let's not go down that road, but you don't want to go down that road.
All right, we can check that out.
You should have a look at that on Game Pass this week. On PC, at least. I'm sure it's on Xbox as well. I don't think I've played anything else.
I have not played anything else.
Other than the Hunt game.
Yes.
What's this? What game is this?
It's called Never Hunt Showdown.
Oh, okay.
New thing. New came out this week. Oh, man.
What are we going to talk about this? All I tell you, yesterday sums up Hunt Showdown for me. In that, finished the quest lines, got the legendary.
Yeah, we should
character.
Say there is almost like a seasonal, it's not quite a seasonal event. Well, there is a seasonal event. There's pumpkins in the maps and shit like that going. So you have to smash pumpkins or whatever if you want. Insert music here.
Not the smashing pumpkins.
There's basically a quest lines running where you have jobs to do to unlock things throughout the quest lines. And it's only available until 9th.
It's not long to go now. It's less than a week left.
So basically, it's one of those like, I, for some reason, am really compelled to do all of these stupid little jobs to get this cosmetic character at the end of it. There is a time limit on this one. So it's like, all I'm going to do is do this until I've fucking done it. And then I've got time to do other things because there's no pressure on me finishing it.
Then we can get back to playing the game as normal.
Yeah. However,
go on.
The way they've structured the quests is making people play the game differently. So people
eat like surprise. I can't believe you're surprised by this. Like the fact that
I'm not surprised by this, but people who have really fucking like played this game for fucking loads of hours, who are good.
That's us now, by the way. You know that, mate.
Yeah, obviously. Apart from that bit, that last moment that I said, who are good. They are playing the game in a way that is not the way they'd normally play it. Because there is a meta for like each kind of level of skill. Well, I don't know about when we're at our level of skill, I don't think there really is a meta other than dying. There's like the higher levels have all got their weapon. Like there's basically the weapons of choice. They've done all their 100 prestiges. There's nothing left for them to do other than just kill everyone. So they've all got access to all the guns and all the weapons and stuff like that. They all throw flash bombs.
Do you think there's really like actual people that play this that actually just load into maps, murder everybody, not even get any of the things and just bomb out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's loads of people who play the game now. They have no interest in making money. Like, the whole point of collecting bounties and killing people is you're constantly amassing experience points and money. Mm. But, there are people who have no need for any more money, have no need for it. You know, they've got all the weapons, they've got everything, so they're simply playing just to play, right?
Right.
For whatever reason or whatever enjoyment they get out of it. But the quest lines have been fantastic. I mean, for me... And I think the same is for Neil, and I think the same is for a lot of the guys. The quest lines have been fantastic because you have a quest where it's like you need to deal damage using dum-dum ammo, right? We never run, though. We never run dum-dum ammo. And so...
Because they're expensive. It's an extra expense.
Well, they're expensive. You don't get as many rounds. They're harder to re-up when you're in the game.
Mm.
You know, there's quest lines for using poison ammunition. I've never used poison ammunition, really never used poison ammunition to any sort of real degree. Well, go ask Matt now what his favorite weapon is, and he's going to tell you it's the Nagant with poison ammo. So what the quest lines have done is they really shake up the game for people, right? They give everybody a chance to run loadouts they don't run, to approach the game from a completely different point of view. Like we've been, like Neil needed to banish a boss, right? So we completely loaded ourselves out. We didn't care what was going to happen to the characters. You know, we were completely treating them as disposable. Whereas the weeks leading up, we're doing everything we can to baby these characters and make sure they don't die. Now we're running in just going, right, let's load them up with the weapons, find the boss as quickly as possible, blat the boss, banish the boss, and who cares, be damned whatever happens after that.
Yeah, so you get out, but you've done the mission anyway.
Yeah, and for me, and probably I think the same for Neil, the biggest thing has been the increase in our aggro play. Like, we have really thrived.
I've been definitely on the wanting to be more aggro, I think, of the people we've generally played. Well, there's a couple of people who are definitely aggro, but one of them in particular is the opposite of aggro, and it's all about preservation of character.
And he's very successful doing it.
Yes, indeed.
And I've gone along with
saved their asses a lot, yeah, and all that sort of stuff.
Whereas and I've gone along with that.
I've been itching to get involved in the fucking PvP and fucking kill people.
Yeah, but as soon as like Neil and I, if it's just been Neil and I playing duos or maybe Mark or whatever, like it's just full on, let's go try and kill people. And I tell you what, my game has improved no end, I think, doing it. My gunplay has improved no end thanks to this quest line. It's been great.
Because it's encouraging you to use different loadouts and
well, there's literally like you've got to get so many points to level up to the next level of the quest. And you can get there's like almost like not quite passive ones, but like there's like the what like so smash so many pumpkins where you can you like you don't have to kill anyone to smash pumpkins. You run a fucking find a pumpkin and smack it in the face and you've smashed a pumpkin. You got to do that so many times to progress. You get so many points towards your next level. But when you get to the higher levels, those there is still smashing pumpkins, but now you've got to do so many in one mission. So in one run, you've the last on the last level of the quest lines, you have to smash 16 pumpkins in one go. Whereas in like earlier ones, it was like a cumulative. It doesn't matter. Like you do three in one map or whatever, and then you go into another game. Blah blah blah. But now, what? There's all. I don't know at what point they kicked in, but it's like deal certain damage with as Fraser said, like dum-dum ammo. But it has to be on hunters, so it's other people. So it's making you go after other people. So that it's weird. It's like the people are still doing the game of like going to find the bosses and killing the bosses. But sometimes we're just like, well, I've just fucking got to find hunters. So I'm not really that bothered about the boss. So we'll go to places where
we're just sitting around the boss.
We're just running around making loads of noise, making people come to us potentially, or go. It was like, oh, someone's banishing the. Someone's already started. Everyone knows where the boss is, so it's clearly going to get aggro over there. So we all fuck off over there.
I mean, one of the funny things has been like,
other people are going to be there.
I noticed a lot of games where I there was a period of about a day or two where I was playing a lot of solo. I was just like, put myself aside and just cut heads down and was knocking off some of the quest lines on my own. I found out it was much easier to focus and get like a good chunk of it done. And there were loads more incidents where you're like in the middle of nowhere in a map. There's no reason for anyone to be there and you just fucking come across people because you know they're doing the same as you. They're just hunting pumpkins. Like there's one guy in the farthest corner of the map and this guy is just trotting around and, you know, he leans over and bang, I just shot him in the head. And you know he's just like, what the fuck? How on earth is somebody headshotted me while I'm in the corner of this map away from everybody else? And it's like, that's why we're down. I'm down here the same reason you are, mate. Probably looking for pumpkins, right? Or whatever it is. It's just, it really shook up the game for us over the last couple of weeks. And it's been a lot.
It'll be interesting to see what happens in a few days when the quest is finished. Because we are, I mean, you've got the character. But the last level of this quest line is you unlock a skin for a legendary hunter, what they call it in the game. So it's like it's just a character that you can buy for 200 hunt dollars and start each game with, you start up their progress until they die. But I don't know, the reason the game is special, I think, is like the environment that you're in. When you get like something happened, I don't know if it was yesterday, where basically I'm in combat with another guy. What I've started to learn is that you need to use the environment to your advantage, and like there's things in the environment will stop bullets hitting you and other things that won't. Like if you're inside or next to a fence, then you can definitely get shot through those fences and things like that. Whereas if you're next to a big fucking tree trunk, they can't shoot through the tree trunk. So you could like have this dance of death with someone, like faking one way and then going the other way around a tree trunk as they come charging at you. And sometimes it pays off and other times it doesn't. But you can fucking like have these great stupid battles. It's like Benny Hill sometimes. And like, when was it? Was it today? Like, oh, I don't know. I've had times where I don't fucking do the hiding thing. I'm just like, fuck it, whatever, I don't care. I'm going to run around, make a load of noise. If I die, I die. If I shoot someone, brilliant. But and sometimes it's fun, and sometimes you're just instantly killed anyway. But I don't know, I feel like I've got better at the dodging and moving around more erratically recently to avoid gunfire. Too. Because it's so, it is like if you're slow and stationary is death basically in a combat situation. You are fucking dead because someone will shot you in the head instantly. But you've got to move fast once it gets into combat, otherwise you're fucking dead. But it's hard. And when you're playing against other people doing the same, it gets really hard. But you can like just be fucking shooting at each other constantly. It's fucking comedic at times.
Right.
Like,
but there's a lot to be said for the sneaky. The sneaky too is amazing. This was one of the things that happened this week was Gary, Defoe's been playing with us as well. Defoe, Matt and I were on the map. I was not paying attention to what I was doing at all. And I just lardy-dar walked past this complex, didn't realize it was the one where I don't know why I had no idea. I was just in La La Land. And they started shooting at me, and I somehow survived. And three guys piled out of this complex to come shoot me, and I was nowhere near the other guys. And I gave him a bit of a fight, and then this one guy just wrapped right around and just shot me. And I just saw him at the last minute, and he downed me and whatever. Anyway, these guys, they downed me. Matt and Gary weren't anywhere near. They just waited. The other guys went off. So Matt and Gary rezzed me. This other team that killed me went off to fight another team for the bounties. They were having a fucking massive scrap. It was going on for ages. So we just slowly walked up there. And I just got close to it. And I slowly crept into the complex, right, and hid behind this train. And lo and behold, this guy, one of the guys fighting, just walks around the corner, and I just point blank just shot him in the chest with this rifle. He does this little jiggly dance because you know you've scared the crap out of him. And then I just shot him again and killed him. Picked up the bounty and just was whooping and hollering like, holy shit, it's a smash and grab. And I just ran, right? And just ran for the exit. Gary and Matt ran with me and we grabbed that bounty and we stole it and got out. Get in to check the stats at the end of the game. It's the fucker who killed me earlier. Like the joy, like I was just in bed all night with this huge, before trying to go to sleep with this massive cheesy grin on my face. It's like fucking brilliant, you know, just the ultimate revenge. And you know, that guy checked the stats as well. I went, fuck like, me. That was the guy the we hell? Killed earlier.
Yeah. Should have burned him.
Yeah.
That's so, the I mean, thing. It's like just... you don't know anything until the end about who you've encountered. Although, it's just so many fucking, so many different things happen all the time. It's like
PUBG back in the days. There's so many adventures that we're having together that it's just a hoot, right? I couldn't have the enthusiasm for this game. Like, it's fun to play solo. There is an element of playing solo I really like. But it's like the PUBG games from 5 years ago.
We were having a right fucking laugh. We're last having night, a riot. I have to say, it was a fucking hilarious laugh.
Well,
night.
It did end up.
I was drunk last night and we're playing. I was fucking hilarious.
I was losing the plot last night, though. But, you know, that happens too, right? You know, and we move on. It's just great.
It's just. No two games are the same. Just no two games are the same. There's only three maps. They're not that big, really. We don't know every inch of every map by any means, but it's just nothing is the same in every fucking game. It's fucking so fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, we could talk about it to death every week, and we will.
I'll try and play a different game next week.
Yeah, we'll try and play some different games. I want to wrap the show up there, if you don't mind. Folks, I don't think we've got anything else to go on to, have we?
No. For me.
Buy Hunt. It's all always on offer.
Okay. Dave, do you want to do your bit?
We do. Thank you for listening to the Seal Podcast. If you'd like to ask us questions or get involved, please contact us either on Twitter at Seal Podcast, email us at sealpodcast@gmail.com, or join us on the Discord server. A link is pinned on Twitter. We have YouTube and Twitch channels, which we upload and stream to on a semi-regularly basis. Neil, do you want to do a shout out for chat?
Okay, we've had Lord Gacker J1. I'm sure they were here before. Can't remember their name. They didn't swear. Mark's been here. Defo, Chill Robot, Sumu. And is that it? Quaxel was in earlier, I think. No, Murph, but Mint Safe. So, yeah, thank you all for joining.
Mark was here. Did you give Mark a shout?
Yeah, Sumu. I did say Mark. Yeah. Gacker J is upset that we're leaving, but sorry. Get here earlier next time.
There you go. Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. And until next time, we'll see you on the Bayou.
Yeah, indeed.
It's been a pleasure.
Next time.
Bye.
I've forgotten how to get rid of Craig.
You click on a button.
I do.
Oh.